And now get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Crisco's Vic and Sade. Say, the other day, I read about a famous actress out in Hollywood who has a mighty interesting way of curing her blues. Well, every time she gets upset, she just goes out in the kitchen and bakes a cake. Now, that's something I can understand, and it's something you'll understand, too, once you start baking cakes with new Sure Mix Crisco. Well, you've never had such a cake-making thrill before, because we don't know of any other shortening that brings you the three exclusive new cake-making advantages you get in Sure Mix Crisco. Yes, ma'am, with this new Crisco, you can make higher, lighter, and tenderer cakes than ever before. And here's the reason why. Sure Mix Crisco gives you the benefit of the greatest shortening discovery in years. A patented discovery shared by no other household shortening. So that makes Crisco the only shortening that can bring you these three exciting new cake-making advantages. Now, you can prove to yourself that Sure Mix Crisco is different from every other shortening you can buy. Just watch the way it acts in your mixing bowl. Why, this new Crisco gives you a wonderful new kind of cake batter. A cake batter that's smooth as satin. There's none of the separating or curdling you so often get with other shortenings. And just wait till you see what this Crisco cake batter does for all your cakes. Why, out in our Crisco kitchens, we've baked hundreds of cakes with many different recipes and every well-known shortening you can buy. And the cakes made with these smoother Crisco batters were higher and lighter. Yes, depending on the type of cake, they rose up to 15% higher and lighter than the cakes made with any of the other shortenings. And how did they taste? Well, they were the tenderest and best-eating cakes of all. So, why don't you get new Sure Mix Crisco at your store today? Because sure as I'm standing here, this new Crisco will give you better eating cakes than you've ever made before. Well, sir, it's early evening as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook and their son, Mr. Rush Gook. This last-named individual is established at the library table reading aloud from a volume of vigorous fiction. His father and mother, seated side by side on the davenport, listen without enthusiasm.
Third Lieutenant Stanley winked, smirked, and adjusted his cravat. "Where are those couple kisses you promised me?" he cried. Lady Margaret Pinkin. She dug the toe of one fashionable French boot in the sand and lowered her heavy eyelashes so that the handsome young officer could not see the misty loveliness beneath. Suddenly, an ear-splitting scream was heard, and a Comanche Indian chief emerged from the shrubbery. Third Lieutenant Stanley produced his automatic revolver, fired twice, and the red scoundrel toppled to the ground. Lady Margaret swooned away. The handsome young...
Hey.
Yeah?
Vic, I was supposed to call Mr. Sludge.
Me?
Yes, and completely forgot. Darn it, he'll think I'm a fine one.
What's the reason
for... Well, Miss Harris is spending the night with her sister in Carlock, and both her other roomers are in Chicago, and that leaves Mr. Sludge in the house all by himself. I promised I'd invite him here to sleep.
Why?
Because he's scared to be alone.
Oh, that
bear. Well, he's so timid. Miss Harris told me he wouldn't any more stay in a house alone all night than a horse. I said I'd get in touch with him and see if he wanted to sleep on our davenport. I better do it right now.
What kind of a mollycoddle is this, Sludge?
He's timid. Scared to stay alone in that big house all night.
Well, the guy's 40 years old, ain't he?
43, but he's a mama's boy.
Shucks.
6264L, please. Yes. This is all right with you, ain't it?
Sure.
Miss Harris goes out of her way to be nice to me all the time. I like to do her a favor when I can.
Mm.
What time is it?
Oh, must be about
8 o'clock.
Well, I bet he's over there crying right this minute. It's dark out and everything, and he's probably just panic-stricken.
The man is feeble-minded.
No, he's not.
43 years old and afraid of the dark?
Well, lots of fellas are afraid of the dark. It's like I say, he's a mama's boy. Wonder why I don't answer.
Maybe he's in bed with the covers pulled up over his ears.
Or cowering in a corner.
Certainly don't look like he's going to answer.
Suppose he went to a hotel?
Could have. Well, might as well hang up, I guess. Darn it, and I promise Miss Harris. She'll think I'm a dandy.
Why didn't Sludge telephone here?
Bashfulness stopped him, probably. Will you go look out the kitchen window and see if there's any lights on over at Harris's?
Okay.
I bet he did go to a hotel.
Mm.
Poor fella.
Brother Sludge, I'm afraid, is in for a lot of heartbreak before he shuffles off this mortal coil. Any big ox his age is scared to stay in the house alone.
Well, he's been babied all his life. His mother and sister treated him like cut glass ever since he was born. I can understand why he's timid and shy.
Mm. There's lights over there.
What?
I didn't catch it.
What'd you say, Raj?
There's a light burning in Mr. Sludge's bedroom.
There's a light burning in Mr. Sludge's bedroom.
Well, then he is home.
Hmm.
Probably afraid to answer the telephone.
Are you going to call him again?
Yeah. Poor fella, I bet he's crying and sobbing to beat the band.
Mm.
If you don't answer this time, either you or Rush will have to go after him.
Oh, hey.
Sure. 6264L, please.
Pipe down, Horseshoe Head. Yeah. Your mother's using the telephone.
He probably won't answer.
Well, if he's too timid to answer a half-wit telephone, he is in a bad way.
Poor fella.
There's a light in Mr. Sludge's bedroom and also a light in the downstairs hallway.
You didn't see any signs of him, did you?
Uh-uh.
Well, looks like he's not going to answer. Rush, you want to run across the alley and tell him you're... Hello? Hello, Mr. Sludge? This is Miss Gook, Mr. Sludge. Yes. What? Oh, all right. He is crying.
Yeah.
Asked me to wait a second while he blew his nose.
Sure.
I can hear him sniffling and sobbing.
By George, if I was that big a sissy.
Yes, Mr. Sludge. Oh, there, you'll be all right. Well, don't cry anymore, Mr. Sludge.
Guy is an idiot.
He's a pretty darn good bowler.
Oh, there, Mr. Sludge.
I've seen him bowl down at the YMCA. 6 strikes in a row is nothing.
You feel better now? Uh-huh. Well, Mr. Sludge, reason I'm calling, did Miss Harris tell you I was going to... Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, it completely slipped my mind. Yes, well, would you like to? Fine. No, wouldn't inconvenience us a bit. We have a comfortable Davenport, and I'll fix you up with a pillow and blankets and you... Uh-huh. Well, we'll look for you then. Any time that suits you. Surely. That's fine then, Mr. Sludge. You bet. Goodbye, fella.
I hope you don't weep during the night and disturb by rest.
You'll be all right.
People, here's the excitement I promised you. Third Lieutenant Stanley disarmed the savage Redskin and prepared to cope with 16 additional Braves who were approaching on horseback. Lady Margaret had taken refuge behind a tree. Have I got time for a couple kisses before these Indians attack me? Sang out the handsome young officer. The beautiful woman Pinkin.
Oh, she's always Pinkin.
Beautiful woman Pinkin. Brandishing her dainty parasol, she...
Telephone is ringing.
Bluetooth Johnson, most likely.
Answer and see.
Bluetooth threatened to call. Said he had something of a very private and very trivial nature to discuss.
Could be Fred and Ruthie.
500?
Yeah, I doubt it, though. It's past 8 o'clock.
Oh? Yes? Yes, I believe she is. Just a second.
Miss Sandbottom?
Mr. Sludge.
Really?
Still got a sob in his voice. May I speak with your mother, please?
Somebody ought to paste Brother Sledge one upside the snoot and knock some of that craziness out of him.
Yes? Yes, Mr. Sludge. Why, of course. No, not at all. Bring your things. No, you're perfectly welcome. Certainly. All right, fine, Mr. Sludge. Shirley. All right. Goodbye, Mr. Sludge.
Where do you want this trip?
Asked if he could use our kitchen sink. He's got a few things he'd like to wash out before he goes to bed.
Oh, shucks.
Socks and handkerchiefs, I imagine.
When's he coming over?
Never said. Directly, I expect.
Is he all over his cry?
Sounded quite cheerful.
I noticed a tremor in his voice.
Did you?
May I speak with your mother, please?
Well, he's always a little quavery, like just now. I want to wash out a few things, if I may, Miss Gook.
Guy, 43 years old, afraid to stay by himself in a house all night.
Well, that's just the mama's boy coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a beautiful woman, Pinkin, brandishing her dainty parasol, she stepped over the body of the prostrate Indian and advanced towards Third Lieutenant Stanley. The handsome young officer guffawed in embarrassment. Going to give me a couple kisses, hey? He tittered. Yes, and a hug, too, said the courageous girl. At that moment, a rattlesnake slithered across the clearing.
I don't suppose you want to give Mr. Sludge your bed, do you?
Uh-uh.
Be nice if you offered it.
Uh-uh.
Mm.
At that moment, a rattlesnake slithered across the clearing.
That's a pretty tall man to sleep on the Davenport.
Huh?
You sleep comfortable on the Davenport?
Oh, heck, Mom, I want my own bed.
All right.
At that moment, a rattlesnake slithered across the clearing. Lady Margaret uttered a piercing scream and swooned dead away.
Well, she just got through swooning dead away.
Uh-huh. The handsome young officer lunged at the reptile and seized it by its ugly head. A moment later, its lifeless body dangled from a nearby tree. By this time, the 16 savages were only 100 yards away. Third Lieutenant Stanley?
California's regain.
Look, Lieutenant Johnson.
I'll get it, Willie. Might be Mr. Sludge again.
Okay. Third Lieutenant Stanley raised his automatic revolver.
Let's have it quiet, please. Hello? Oh, yes, Mr. Sludge. You are? Uh-huh. Well, you mean you'd like to have... Uh-huh. All right. Fine. When would you like to leave? All right. Certainly, Mr. Sludge. Certainly. Goodbye, Mr. Sludge.
Now what?
Well, he'd like to have either you or Rush come over and get him.
Come over and get him?
He's timid about going across that dark old alley all by himself.
Oh, Sunday.
Well, Mama's boy, you know.
A big baboon.
I'll volunteer to escort him safely across the alley, Mom.
All right. He'll be ready to leave in 20 minutes.
Okay.
Poor fella.
I'll say.
Well, Third Lieutenant Stanley raised his automatic revolver and took careful aim. He fired twice. Two redskins fell from their horses, and the rest turned and fled. Lady Margaret revived from her swoon and rose to a sitting position. How about those couple kisses, roared the handsome young officer. They were given with a will.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Crisco's Vic and Sade until the next time. Say, lemon meringue pie tastes grand in the summertime. Its tart, tangy flavor so refreshing. And the meringue looks so cool and tempting, too. Now, there's a little trick to getting a meringue that doesn't form drops of syrup on top. And that's to be sure to beat and beat your sugar and egg whites until the bubbles are fine and tiny. And then bake your pie in a very slow oven until the meringue turns golden brown. And make your pie crust with Crisco, won't you? Crisco pastry is so tender and digestible, and you won't taste any off flavors because no shortening we know of comes to you purer, fresher, or creamier than Sure Mix Crisco. And say, wait till you taste a Sure Mix Crisco cake. Why, our baking tests prove that cakes made with Crisco can be higher and lighter than those made with any other household shortening we know of. Yes, and they're tenderer and better eating cakes, too. So get Crisco today. It's the only shortening you need for all your baking and frying. And don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Sade the next time. This is Mel Allen speaking.